2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, F like Frank, O-O-D like dog.com, enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It's 4/26/2019. It is a live show. Now, when I saw President Trump today at the Indianapolis NRA convention, and I thought about all the different people, the Kamala, you know, Karma Chameleon Harris and Bernie and all these people, and old Biden is one of the guys that really wanted to take the assault weapons back in the day, and also during, you know, Obama's thing. And I think about all of that, and I think about Lexington Green, and, you know, I'm reminded because I see the Oath Keepers sticker that somebody sent me here. Established Lexington Green, you know, April 19th, all right? Well, anyway, I like the Declaration of Independence because that, to me, is the strongest thing. And you want to talk about some boys who stuck their necks out and in so doing kept their eye on what might be coming after them. Here is the Declaration of Independence part that I like. And it goes, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Then to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them that shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Well, I mean, Californians, what are you up to? I'm just picking on some Californian buddies of mine out there because I know they're there and they understand it better than I do as far as that goes. Now, let's read the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Kamala Chameleon, Kamala Harris, have you ever read the Second Amendment, Kamala Harris? Biden, have you read the Second Amendment? Beto, we know you haven't because you're eat dirt, okay? Jig your booty. Well, you're too interested in jigging booties with your booty buddy, all right, who you get to kiss on TV. Oh, that's just going to really endear you to the world with that crap. Booty, jig your booty, huh? You. What do you think about the Second Amendment? You want to take them away. Swallow well, the guy who likes to swallow well from California. He wants to take them away even if you have to use nuclear weapons, you see, on the anybody that would fight the government. So I'm just going to tell you. Also, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. And the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched, and the persons or things to be seized. So these email warrants at 4 a.m. in the morning when the bloodsuckers in the DUI van want to take your blood, incidentally, they're going to take your blood and they could pop your vein and kill you. They could put bubbles in you, you know? Oh, they're supposedly trained. Well, they're not a hospital, okay? They're not a licensed phlebotomist. They are people taking blood at the thing. And that is not right. And I'm going to tell you what, there ain't no warrant, there ain't nothing. There's no ability to deny that or what have you. Sure, there's a law that says if you don't take it, that they can take away your license. But I'm going to tell you what, that's all right, but if I want to go somewhere, I'm going to go somewhere. If I want to drive, I'll drive. I carried a firearm before, you know, concealed carry was a little, carry the firearm. Because why? Because of the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, I don't have a tank out in my front yard, nor do I have a field artillery piece or anything like that. But it sure be nice if everybody had a 50 caliber Browning machine gun, wouldn't it? That'd be great. Everybody be a heck of a lot more polite in this country if there was one of those in everybody's home. Now, that, you say, well, Huck, all that's being facetious. Well, did you read something that I've been talking about, Brother Quail, been talking about for years, and about the other times we came real close, And now Brother Hodges has got a series of part two, I think, from insider sources revealed just how close America is to simultaneous civil war and World War III. I would call it Gog-Magog war, but be that as it may. And he says we have traitors in our midst, and they're all serving in supervisor roles in the various alphabet soup agencies. No kidding there, I guarantee you that. Now, do you remember a number of years ago when Greg Evenson and I broke on the air, and Greg had information directly from the sources, let me tell you. Do you remember when Wakanda well blew in the Gulf Coast of Mexico? Makanda is south of Carbondale, and also probably somebody remember that from going to SIU and then put that into a Black Panther movie, you know? The mystical kingdom of Makanda. Yeah, it's down by Giant City. Anyway, the fact is that Greg Evenson had the hot information. We broke it on air, and back when that well blew, and started leaking jillions of tons into the Gulf. You remember it was on TV and spurting oil, and it was on fire at the wellhead, on the rig, and the whole nine yards, and the oil is just going all over Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama and Florida and going on around the horn up into even possibly to slow down the Atlantic Current, which if we slowed that down, we'd have the big winter, just like Dennis Quaid's movie, The Day After or whatever, when they started snowing and it didn't quit. And then if you recall the C-130s and all the tankers and everybody dropping Corexit, they were coming out of Ohio airport out on the east side. Oh, shoot. Sometimes I'll tell you, I have a pretty good memory, but I think sometimes I remember too much, if you know what I'm saying. And it is quite interesting. Let's see. I'm just going to look it up. Just take my time, look it up. I've done this all these years, so I might as well. Youngstown, the big airport, the big military long deal in Youngstown, all right? And if you remember all that stuff dropping down there, well, at that time, there was a plan that was afoot and that was getting ready to be put through, and they had already pre-positioned a lot of equipment and troops and different items. And there was going to be, per Greg Evenson's source, that they were going to do a forced evacuation of the Gulf Coast and bring it all north into the other areas under a martial law. And if you recall, we broke that on air. Now, that sort of was a big revelation at that time. And then I think it was Jesse Ventura, about a year and a half or 2 years later, did his television shows, which were excellent TV shows. And Jesse corroborated that on his television show because Greg Evenson told me Jesse had found the exact same source who was involved at the time and knew what was going on and got the information out. So there's been other times as far as the Red Chinese, and one of the reasons that the Mexican cartels, I'm talking about Dave Hodges' article now at commonsenseshow.com. Excellent two series in the articles. He did one yesterday and I think one today. And he's got some good sources currently. And the fact is, Brother Quayle got a tip years ago, Steve Quayle, that there were Red Chinese military in Mexico proper, and that there were trucks coming from Texas going across into Mexico, the good old white federal government trucks, white cab, white trailers, all there with specialized, X-ray kind of license plates and stuff. And they were hauling complete loads of groceries, and one of the truckers called Brother Quayle or emailed him and told him about it. Now, at that point in time, the Red Chinese had taken over Lazaro Cardenas' port on the port side of Mexico, which connects to the Kansas City Southern, what becomes eventually the Kansas City Southern Rail Line, but it is the beast train where all the people ride on the top of it to come up to go to the United States, where they ride on top of the train cars. Well, at that point in time, I called the old Texas buddy down there, who knows who he is right now. And I said, y'all know anybody down there in Mexico or know anybody who can go and look to see if the Red Chinese are at a such and such place, you know? And he said, yeah, I got somebody. And he sent somebody on down who was at family in Mexico. And they went down in there, and by George, he came across over the mountain there, the big hill, and saw a checkpoint, and it kind of was all laid out to him as he was up high. And there's a brand new housing development there, nice three-bedroom, two-bath homes, or four-bedroom, three-baths, or whatever they were, with the carport and a nice, you know, nice facility, you know, nice homes, brand new subdivision. But there was a checkpoint on the front of it, and the checkpoint was being run, allegedly, by the federales, okay? So he's taking a look at all this, and by George, he sees with binoculars, he sees Chinese people in military uniforms going and getting in their cars and going and doing this and that and the other. So they are there, and they could be very easily helping the Mexicans with their drone technology to utilize and to tie into the satellites and the U.S. drones to hack into them, to use them. You see, the Chinese, just a big story has come out about that, how they're using the U.S. technology, all of our systems up there, and they're hacking into it, you see. And they're using our satellites for their purposes as well. And to see what's going on all around the world. They could also utilize them for communications and for putting other signals on top of the carrier wave. You see, multiplexing a signal. You could have CBS coming down, you know, or CNN or whatever it was, and they could shoot something on down right on top of it and piggyback it. Now, what most people don't remember is that probably about maybe the first year, the last year or two of George W. Bush's presidency, that old prime, the guy who's now Xi, Chinese Prime Minister or President Xi, okay, that when he first was brought up, you know, was a lot younger and was brought into the power structure. And he was like an assistant or a vice premier, vice president, or whatever he was. And that I remember him going to Mexico. And he had big meetings in Mexico City and all the big other cities in Mexico, Guadalajara, and, you know, all the different places, Cancun, you know, all a whole different group of places. And he was talking to all the big shots, the 30 seis familias, the 36 families that run Mexico or own Mexico, mostly of Spanish descent. You know, and the more pure Spanish you are, the higher up you go generally in that group. The President Xi, there was a translation, there was an audio, and he was speaking in Spanish, or he had somebody speaking in Spanish for him. So I could kind of understand that, but then there was a transcript. And basically the bottom line of the shot was Xi, is that he was telling the Mexicans, are you getting tired of old Uncle Sam telling you what the heck to do and trying to call the shots? All you got to do is align with us. We'll let you do your thing. You can do all the drugs, all that stuff, flood it into the United States. we want to take over your ports, and we want the access, and we want to bring things into the country from Mexico under NAFTA so we can get them in without any tariffs or anything. So this was years ago, and they already had the plans laid up. Now, fast forward to about what? Now, what was this? Last fall, when I had information from a deep background source about that observation post or whatever near the Mexican border, which had been taken over by the U.S. government or military, and that allegedly it was going to be used by certain factions that were going to be used to bring in. And those factions allegedly were the ones being ordered into operation by the Joker Tadobami, okay, the lizard himself, and Valerie Jarrett, okay, using the Soros money. But you see, that whole story is a bigger story. I was discussing with my good friend from Charlotte today, old Doc, and talking to Doc in Charlotte, and basically that whole thing, which I know there's a real good article there at on Steve Quayle's side as well, and from All News Network or whatever, and it's talking about the infiltrator, the Muslim infiltrator. Well, when he was Barry Sotero, all right, he was a Muslim at that time, and he was living in Indonesia, and his mother was a CIA agent and likely a Russian agent and likely possibly either Chinese or Indonesian or Malaysian or whoever. She may have been a triple or quadruple agent. And then his grandpa, which is his white mother's daddy, was 101st Airborne, but he was a stone-cold socialist. And then grandma, his mom's mother, allegedly was one that got involved with that suburb guy, the suburb Indonesian messiah of that era. And then she went to work for Social Security in Hawaii, and allegedly, the current Social Security number that's used by the Joker Tut was from a dead white man from Connecticut, and he's never lived in Connecticut. So it was one of those kind of things, like the Highlander. You had to keep going back for a new birth certificate and a new number, you know, new Social Security number. Well, there's also in the pictures and things, in the Bammy's book, you know, of him with astronauts when he's a young kid. And then according to Andrew Basiago, that he may have been in one of those time travel jump programs. Well, I have a excellent source to the show, Deep Background, that was also involved in jump room to Mars type scenarios. And he's in a spacesuit, and they're inside the pyramid in the city, the one by the big giant base on Mars, where there's a city and the different pyramids and different things. And in that, he's walking up a step from the inside of the pyramid up to go outside, to the outside onto Mars' area. By that, the other items there, the other buildings and the other pyramids, etc. And that giant face that looked like a Sphinx face, or half lion, half monkey, or half man, half lion, or whatever. And somebody ahead of him on the step turns around, and there's a very young, like, teenage Obama, allegedly. Okay? Now, that matches up with Basiago, who was in a whole nother deal, and this person that I know was not connected to Basiago in any way, but was there. And then I also know another person who had gone to Mars, Brother Greg Evenson. And he went to look for something up there. And God bless him, Greg was a lot further into it than anybody could ever imagine. and yet was a stout believer in Lord Jesus. And I know he made it to heaven because I could see his face smiling up there in heaven when he passed away. So Brother Greg also had been to Mars, had different experiences than this person told me that. But what they apparently used to do is to try to find people in the time travel type world about who was going to be according to the way the time stream or the, you know, space-time continuum, the particular string that you're on at this time. Because there's a parallel over here and a parallel over there, you see. It's a multiverse. And the timeline and the different events and the different identities and the events on it could be different. One string to the next. They could be similar but different or what have you. But they would try to find out who was going to be president and then try to locate them at a young age. Now also, as complicated that whole issue, is at age 16 in Indonesia, as Barry Sotero, a nice Muslim student, he allegedly was recruited by the KGB. And then when he became president, the KGB had a big party in St. Petersburg and also in Moscow. Their guy got in. And flip forward, when you remember on the hot mic, tell Vlad, I'll have a lot more flexibility to do that once I win the election. He was telling Medvedev to tell Vlad that. So who's colluding with who? Okay? He allegedly was an agent. Now, King of Saudi Arabia, when he also gets elected, allegedly put $1 billion in cash in an account in the Cayman Islands for Obama, allegedly. Now, allegedly, it might have been put allegedly in the Fuji Bank. I'm not sure about that. That's a detail that has gone fritter. But Grand Cayman, or, you know, would be the most likely spot. And I do agree that that was what allegedly was done. So he went to Egypt first. So there is a Muslim component. But when you get to the Muslims and you get Soros money, then you have to understand that Soros was a young Jewish kid who rode around with the big Nazi in Germany and in Czechoslovakia and all the areas that was stealing the properties of the Jewish people who had been grabbed and shoveled off on trains and trucks to the concentration camps to be killed, to be worked to death, or just zapped with the gas. So when you think about a traitor, a Jewish traitor, Soros, which he even said that he did all that on a 60 Minutes years ago. Now, allegedly, Soros funds a lot of these groups and all these things, the Antifa, the BLM, the OFA or whatever it is. And that's true. Muslim groups, whatever. Any group that sows chaos, Ordo Ab Kaio, he's going to create the chaos. But allegedly, he might front, allegedly, for the Rothschild family, who have trillions of dollars and own most of the major stock in the major central banks of the big corporation or the big countries in the world, as in the Bank of England, as in Federal Reserve Bank of New York, okay? Maybe some of the other Federal Reserve banks, which also have stockholders. But Federal Reserve Bank of New York controls the system. So when you get to that, then you understand the Rothschilds are Jewish. They're nominally Jewish, but really who they worship and claim descendancy from is Nimrod and Semiramis, black magicians and a half demigod, a hybrid. Nimrod was probably a hybrid or maybe Anunnaki offspring himself, or Nephilim offspring, you see, because the Anunnaki and the Nephilim were the same, as Brother Quail will tell you. The giants are the offspring of the Nephilim and Earth women. So Semiramis allegedly was Another name for her was may have been Lilith, okay? So we got a Luciferian component all throughout here, but at different layers of the fifth dimension, five-dimensional Lucy chessboard, the lie is different. We'll be back in a moment.
Hello there, and welcome to the bottom of the hour. This is Darren Craddock for Inner Health Botanicals, sole sponsor of the Survive to Thrive Radio Network. Bringing you The Hawk on Thursdays and Fridays, Nurse Amy and Dr. Bones on Tuesdays, and myself with Total Health Freedom on Mondays and Wednesdays. We are all here to keep you informed and tell you more about how to stay healthy and aware. We talk on staying well naturally, being prepared, growing your own, and more. With the right tools, foods, and information, we give you the kind of truth that will set you free. Please support our network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hawk on Survive2Thrive.net. And you want to keep old Hawk on the air? I hope you do. If you want, you can reach me at RadioHawk777@Hotmail.com. RadioHawk777@Hotmail.com. I do get the emails. I try to read them. I try to answer them when I can. I don't answer everyone, but I try to at least read them and see what you're up to. And then you can also reach me by mail. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And I'm going to tell you what, anything that you can put in a card or letter would be most needed, be most welcome. Keep old Hawk in the game and swinging at the Lucy's with the ball bat, all right? Because I'm here to do that and attack and go against the enemies of Lord Jesus, and secondarily to warn you about what's coming or what I hear what's coming and how to prepare. Now, I'll tell you what. Inner Health Botanicals has got a heck of a lot of good products. And the more of all of it that you put back, the herbal tinctures, the 40-day, 40-night pails, the inner food, which will help you stretch other long-term storage food that you might be preparing for. And incidentally, there is just no let-up on this stuff. All of the million, calves, beef calves that were killed, all of the hogs that were killed, the chickens that were killed, turkeys, the crops that have been destroyed, the 2 years of corn and beans and stuff in the elevators and in the storage bins that was all flooded out, the burned crops and things and nut and fruit trees and things in California, the drought and also in other places in Utah and a lot of other western states and California that nailed a lot of things. All of this is into it, but now we've also started to get, we had the courts strike down President Trump's opening up of the Arctic, oil drilling and the offshore drilling. And now they've stopped all that. People say, well, why is gas going up? Because they stopped all the offshore drilling, okay, in the courts. And then we've got all kind of other things. We've got Venezuela not producing. You've got a blockage to try to block now the Iranians from being able to do their thing with oil as a sanction. And consequently, we've got the possibility of the World War III, of the Gog-Magog War. Because now we've got the Lincoln and the Stennis, I believe, in the Med off of Syria. The Iranians are threatening to close the Straits of Hormuz. And what's interesting and what I've told you about is the back years ago, 204, they had about 40 nuclear warheads and about 110 super sunburns, which the Aegis missiles, the Aegis systems could not handle. There was no defense against it back then. And then now they have the electromagnetic stuff with the Russians, and then, of course, the Chinese have it too, that can take out our aircraft. Did not the Chinese take out one of the F-35s that Japan had off the coast of Japan, not too far from the Spratlys? Are those Senkaku Islands that are disputed with Japan and China? What about the USS Donald Cook when it was in the Black Sea and one aircraft, Russian aircraft, flew over? Boom, all the systems down except for just emergency lighting and power. Not power to get away, but power just to keep emergency lighting systems on in the USS Donald Cook. And then you remember the aircraft carrier that was brought out as a shakedown. After that, after the Cook finally could get underway and go back for repairs and get upgrades to Aegis, and you remember the aircraft carrier coming out of Oceania, basically coming out of the Newport, you know, out of the Hampton Roads, that it was delayed. They went out for a shakedown cruise, and the admiral that ran the whole carrier group brought that thing back in and then delayed the sailing of the carrier group because he said, heck, man, this Aegis didn't work for us out there. And we got taken out by an older second-rate French submarine, and we didn't even know it was going down, all right? So he wanted to have it reset up. He delayed the thing. Then they went, and they steamed out. As they got out, their stuff was not working again. He had to go to Great Britain and steam in, and then in Scotland or Great Britain, and have it worked on there. So then after that, we had all of the Aegis class, the Arleigh Burke-type destroyers, get knocked out of the box. Remember over there in the Sea of Japan where the huge, giant Chinese container ship made like a horseshoe turn in the middle of the night and then came steaming right in and nailed the Arleigh Burke-class destroyer right in the spot which contained where the computers and the Aegis is, where the radio room was, all the most sensitive stuff, and not only that, but the berthing areas for the sailors and young officers and chiefs who worked on the Aegis, on the radios, on the sonars, on all the stuff, the signal intelligence of the vessel. And it was all just a glitch, you know. And then we had two or three more of them, including the Donald Cook, right? And we've talked to you about all the planes and the helicopters going down. So if we go to war, we could be in deep doo-doo, you see. Nevertheless, we got to be out there and show the flag to a certain degree. But in the midst of it all, not only do we have the gas, the ammonia up in Chicago, outside of Chicago, we have the train in Fort Worth with ethanol catches fire. We had the Crosby, Texas ethylbutylene plant. We had the Deer Park, Texas benzene plant, chemical plants blowing. We have all kind of the, we're going to have snow again in Chicago in the upper reaches, on the upper stripe again. We're in fourth generation, act of God type warfare. And overture, gray terror, glitches, acts of terror kind of things that nobody's paying attention to. We also have this guy in Denver. Now, supposedly he's just a Hispanic guy from Texas who's got a CDL that his brother said, well, he lost his brakes, you know, and that's possible. But I'm going to tell you what. He could have taken it to the ditch instead of smacking and hitting all the other trucks and cars. And why is he going so fast? At the very least, he could have thrown the thing in low or dropped it down and tried to, stall it out or do something. I know right where that part of I-70 is at, and he's interdicting the traffic that's going in or coming back from the mountains into Denver. And that's going to be a problem. Now, does that cause a detour, you see, that maybe on the kill shot comes in on the next truck, and then a little closer to downtown or near some strategic area, perhaps, where you're going to have to go by, let's see, some of the signal intelligence stuff that's up there and deep underground, in Colorado. That's just north of the city. Well, suppose that they put a Venturi sprayer with some kind of bioweapon or, the anthrax or the Ebola or whatever it is, or some kind of bird and swine flu that maybe got allegedly created in a lab outside of Calgary in Alberta by the experts called the Lee family, And maybe it got loose into the goose and duck population near Lethbridge or something like that a few years back, and maybe it's perfected now. Oh, I don't know. Or maybe it's a loose bucket of sun they could blow, you see. But all of this stuff is clustering. All of it is clustering again and again and again. And I've been watching it a long time, and there's always these things like the ammonia leak. And the ammonia leak, you see, at first it said their car hit, there was an accident. Then they say, it wasn't that. And they're investigating the cause, and they still don't have a real good answer for any of that crap. Now I'm going to tell you what, we've also got from the Luciferian perspective, and you remember I was telling you the round robin of how on the five-dimensional Luciferian chessboard, the five levels of it, that the lie is different on every level, you see. Or every slice of the onion has got a different lie, But it's still all Lucifer trying to destroy most of the people on the planet and do blood sacrifice to bring himself on as the little G God to try to counterfeit what Lord Jesus was, which was the true Messiah, the true Savior, you see. All of this stuff just doesn't happen necessarily for a reason. And you got all kind of stuff spreading, all kind of new diseases. This Candida auris, okay? You got all kind of little scenarios going on now is what we have. And it's just not all kosher, if you know what I mean. We have earthquakes in diverse places, a whole swarm of them. In California and Alaska, swarming up the, There was a big one, about a 3.6, which is pretty big of recent years, on the New Madrid Fault the other day in western Tennessee, northwestern Tennessee, near the New Madrid, Missouri, the fault line there. If that thing blows, you'll open up a whole Mississippi River down through there, and you'll knock every bridge off across that river for quite a ways. Destroy cropland and all kind of stuff right in the heart of the country. In Missouri, and, Tennessee, Arkansas, Illinois, all up and down in the Mississippi complex, all right? We've already had the upper Missouri flooding and doing all of that. It goes into that. And I'll tell you what, you get all kind of interesting things where even rivers will back up and change course. Perfect example, that's the False River in Louisiana. Ate some good blue crab down there one time, which was excellent. You've also got by Grand Tower, Illinois, Southern Illinois, where the river reversed course during the last big quake. So I'm going to tell you, you've got these earthquake weapons. You got all of it. It's right there in Matthew 24, Luke 21. The Lord Jesus is telling you what's going to happen and come. He then goes on further and tells you about the revelations he gave to John of Patmos. And in the midst of all of that, we've got 3.2 annual growth in the first quarter of this year. We got the lowest unemployment rates in the United States we've seen in quite some time, I'll guarantee you. For Hispanics, for African Americans, for women, for Asians, for everybody. Some increase in wage growth, okay? And that's another reason that all these people, they want them to come across the border, they can keep the wages down. I remember when, you know, back in the 60s, you had roofers who were like union roofers, and they made a decent wage. And now they brought them all in, and they're all in from Mexico, or they could be in from Guatemala or Honduras or El Salvador, and working even cheaper. They've basically taken over all of the roofing industry, and a lot of the carpentry jobs, and all of the other jobs. So now the question is, I don't mind that they work hard and they just try to get here and get a job. I don't mind that. But the fact of the matter is that people who came here that aren't citizens should not be replacing American citizens. But when they do that, they increase the vote for the Democrats because they, in California, they'll give them all a driver's license. Once you get the license, you get the Social Security number on the street corner, okay? Get it like from Obama's mommy, allegedly, or grandma, all right? Allegedly how he acquired his alleged Connecticut one. And incidentally, that's supposedly, allegedly, the second different Social Security number he had. But, of course, you can't talk about any of that, can you? Trump did. Trump got elected. And President Trump is doing the best he can, but they've hamstrung him on certain items. Now, let's see here. Let me see if I've got this here. Let's see. Okay, here we go right here. Let's see. Incidentally, did you see the... Fort Bragg held a drill? They turned off all the power to see what would happen on the biggest military base where you got, about 52,000 people or more living? And isn't that interesting? And why are they doing that? Well, they're doing it because the Russians, as you recall... We talked about the EMPs, China and Russia preparing for blackout warfare with super EMP bombs. Nuclear EMP attack is part of the military doctrines, plans, and exercises of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran for a revolutionary new way of warfare against military forces and civilian critical infrastructures by cyber, sabotage, and EMP. And that was an article, let's see, ZeroHedge.com, and it was 1/30/2019, China, Russia preparing blackout warfare. An excellent, nice, long article talking about it. I've given you a whole lot of them over the years, but the fact of the matter is, President Trump knew, and during when he ran for the election, he wanted to be as part of the upgrade of all of the infrastructure. He wanted to harden the power grid so they wouldn't go down. And so it's just really interesting. So now, you know, let me just go back to one thing and finish this up. So when you have Soros working with the Nazis, then you go and you get Prescott Bush. Or Sherf was his real name, S-H-E-R-F-F. Sherf. And was he a friend of certain high-level Nazis as a young man? But anyway, Prescott and his buddy, I believe it was William Stamps Parrish, who was Standard Oil, and others, I think it was Harriman, perhaps, all got, indicted or investigated for trading with the enemy. No, Prescott Bush was keeping all the profits of the big steel company in Germany that made produced steel for the Krupps and all the different arm manufacturers. And he was keeping all the profits, for them in New York banks, which he then invested in the stock market and stuff, and then had, after the war, gave it back to him. And then, of course, the law firms that were involved, they were basically, two brothers, One that became head of the CIA, the other became head of the State Department. And those two brothers were Dulles, the Dulles brothers, D-U-L-L-E-S, as in JF Kennedy, the Dulles, And they were the attorneys for a New York law firm that were the attorneys that basically used to go and take money and bonds and stuff and assist Hitler and the big bankers and all of those corporations that supported Hitler. And then you have IG Farben, of course, owned more of Standard Oil stock than Standard Oil did of IG Farben. Totally integrated. All right. That's the Rockefellers. And then they used to supply diesel to the Nazi subs down in Argentina and off of Venezuela, Probably in the holding pen under La Orquia Island, like the Russian subs are up in there now with the good old the Venezuelan Maduro, So now, all of that stuff goes back into the Rothschilds and all of that. And then, of course, Prescott Bush also had deep Muslim banking world ties with allegedly, I believe it's the Massoud or somebody family. So you come back around again and again. And the Grand Mufti of Cairo, Egypt, he was a big fan of Hitler and supported him. And he knew Bush and all those people. So this thing is kind of interesting. You got a Luciferian plot, and allegedly you still have Obama and Valerie Jarrett giving orders to this thing. Well, now maybe Trump might have him on the run if William P. Barr does more than a limited hangout. You want an action item? Then tell President Trump to declassify all the information on the FISA. He was on Sean Hannity last night, which was interesting, right? And he said he would declassify. And then he was waiting. He thought Barr would be able to do this or that or the other, And here's what I sent to him yesterday early in the day. I said, declassify all the FISA applications. Bar will try a limited hangout, but it won't work. And it may lose you the election if you do not strike now while the iron is hot, okay? Waiting for the inspector general will get you only a little of what America deserves to hear. Your instincts are correct, but your advice is clearly incorrect. Barr will only go part way, and he will protect the CIA. And though he should, he won't do Rosenstein, who is going to wear wire on you for proof of the 25th Amendment. Declassify and then let loose Jim Jordan, Meadows, Nunez, Hannity, Sarah Carter, John Solomon, Greg Jarrett, and also the Mideast peace plan is a non-starter at this time, and your son-in-law has used up his capital and, in fact, now hurts your chances. It is a tone-deaf move, particularly when you already enjoy a lot of support from the Israelis. If you start to give away stuff of theirs and land, you're going to lose their support. I said it would be better to park an uncloaked TR-3B or Solar Warden craft filled with 10,000 Space Marines and loaded to the gills with particle beam weps, lasers, and the big booms, and over Iran, over the Red Chinese Islands, and over the Russian oil fields near Baku, and show them the true level of the technology that the United States has. Then what you should do is release all of the zero-point technology, the lower-level eDARPA-suppressed cold fusion, and even the suppressed by eDARPA, allegedly, really cheap hot fusion technology for maybe only $200,000. You could have an unlimited supply of power with the hot fusion reactor. With the cold fusion, you don't need hardly any money at all, and you can put units on individual homes. So if you release the zero-point energy, and then you could really start a big technology boom for the United States, because we would not necessarily have input, high input costs for fuel to make items and to make things. And then I said, President Trump, you can take us to the stars and to the moon and Mars and its moon, where the U.S. breakaway technology civilization already exists in corporate sublimation to preclude interference and FOIA requests. I said, that is what Andy Jackson would do. Open up a territory much larger than the Louisiana Purchase. And that's what I sent to him early yesterday, and then you may have heard him last night on Hannity. I don't know if it got to him, but it sure sounded like certain items that I mentioned might have been mentioned. Now, maybe I'm just feeling the oats or reading the mind of the collective mind of what's going on, you know, in the country here. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, this thing is all coming to a head, and there's no guarantee the election will be won. Don't go into their Luciferian night without a fight. Go out in honor of the NRA convention, go out and buy another firearm or a one that you don't have. Go get you one and buy you another 1,000-pound ammunition. Go out and buy you the or get a whole bunch of food. If you want to see something, they track all those things, and that'll blow their mind. Mighty men and women of valor, use your ad technology to strike both tonight. Keep high up the spirit. And get the boat.